In John, I mean in Romans chapter 15, verse 29. I believe this ought to be a blessing for the Buffalo Valley Baptist Church. Has not God fulfilled part of this promise that He gave us in Romans 15:29? And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Have not we experienced that? I truly believe that we have. The experience of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now please turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 103. We want to talk about benefits today. We've seen a lot of the benefits that we have received from the hands of God over the past 18 months here at Buffalo Valley. He talks about it here in Psalms 103. Let's read this Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Isn't that wonderful? To bless the Lord. Now turn, let me read one verse here out of Psalms 107. And we're talking about the blessings of God, the benefits of God, and how we're to understand these things. Look at Psalms 107, verse 1 and 2. I give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. His mercy. Notice verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who's to praise the Lord? And who's to give thanks unto God? And praise unto God is the redeemed of God. Them that have been redeemed. Them that have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about. Let the body of Christ say so. Let the redeemed of the body of Christ say so. That is the church. Let them praise the Lord. Now, if we read this, you'll get a more fuller understanding what I'm trying to say. In verse 2 of Psalms 103, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, I remember when I worked in the mines. I only worked about 4 years, maybe five. But anyway, when the contract come up for voting, well, they'd write up a new contract. And the company would, and give it to the men, and they could read that contract and look what was in the contract. And you know 75% of the men wouldn't sign the contract if there wasn't a raise in it. You know what I looked at in the contract? I looked in the contract about the benefits that was in it. That was more important to me than the raise of a little bit of money. Well, is my hospitalization a little bit better this time? Do I have good doctor care this time? What about my pension fund? Has it been raised? Have they adjusted it a little bit better? And my burial fund and dental care and all of these things. You want to look into all of these things. This is what David is telling us and wants us to understand and realize. We're not to forget not all, oh my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, what He's done for us. So then I want to preach that because next Sunday we're going to have a service, and that I felt that that service was a service that we might praise God and glorify God and thank God for what He's done here at Buffalo Valley. But I kind of wanted to be first to do it. And I figured maybe one of the men we're going to have preaching, maybe we'll want to preach a dedication service, a dedication to the fellowship hall that we have and Sunday school rooms that we're going to have and our baptistry and all of that. And thank God for it. That's some of God's benefits, you see. That's some of the things that God is doing for us because we've been faithful. Because we've been faithful to God and we've been following Him and following His word because He is the head of the church. And He does supply the needs to the body, that is the church. Forget not all His benefits. Now, I tell you, that's really wonderful. Now, look back in Psalms chapter 68. Psalms chapter 68. Just look at that. Verse 19. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Isn't that a wonderful, marvelous thing? That God has daily loaded us with benefits. Daily. What about today? Hasn't God given you benefits today? What about today? Well, sure, you was able to get out of bed. You was able to wash and put your clothes on and come to church and sit down and hear a wonderful Sunday school lesson that we heard here from Brother Scott. You was able to do that. And that you was able to come and sing the songs of praises. The benefit that you're assembled here with your brothers and sisters in Christ of like faith. Then they have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have fellowship with them. They have fellowship with you. You love them. They love you. All of these are benefits that we wouldn't have if it wasn't for God. We wouldn't have this building. We wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for the benefits of God. Now, I'm not saying it's all benefits to the saints of God. Listen, the sinner gets a lot of benefits from God. You remember what the word says? It says the sun don't shine just on the just, but it shines on the unjust. And it says he sends the rain not only on the just, but he sends it on the unjust as well. A fellow said, well, I ought to have a pretty good garden because I'm a child of God and everything. But then the man that's not saved has a better garden than the man that's saved. The man that was saved is of God. He sweated more and worked more and was in the garden more and tended to it more than the man that was saved. So we can't, you see, the benefits, what I'm trying to say, a lot of the benefits we have from God, we have to earn them. We have to earn these benefits. Now he's going to tell us about some of these benefits. But this is not all of them. By no means. Notice what the first one. Who forgiveth all our iniquities. What did David say about that? In Psalms chapter 51. What about this word iniquity? What does this word mean? He saved us from all our iniquities. Notice in Psalms 51. Now, David said in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in that which was passed down from generation to generation. That's what that word means here. That's what David is saying. Because in several places, he says, I have to bear the reproach of the iniquities of my father. And Jesus also said, when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments and wrote them down, he said that I will what? I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation. What generation are we living in here? Is this the fourth generation here? Figure it out. Is this the fourth generation that we're living in? David was talking about these things. Iniquity passed down, you see, unto the child. God, you see, it was passed down from my father and my mother. And it was passed down from her father and her mother, my mother and dad. And it's passed right on down. I passed it on down to my children. Iniquity means, in another sense of the word, means lawlessness. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. They said, have not we prophesied in your name? Have not we cast out demons in your name? Have not we done many wonderful works in thy name? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He said, workers of lawlessness, you see. You see, we have to be promoted into the kingdom of God. We're saved into the kingdom of God and promoted into the kingdom of God, and we'll rule by that law, by the law of Christ. And in this law, so that's what David is saying, this iniquity passed down. So who forgiveth all thy iniquities, all of that secrets in the closet, all of that terrible stuff in the parents, in the foreparents, in the parents, in the parents, going right on back from generation to generation. All your iniquity, he said, I've forgiven all of those things, you see. Those that's been passed down, you see. A child of God don't have to be ashamed about anything. He can hold his head up high. Why? Because God has forgiven him all his iniquities, and he's healed all of our diseases. In other words, the diseases that's connected with redemption and with salvation. God has delivered all these things, and God has healed the body, and he's healed the soul. And he says, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You see, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? How could you be saved and lost? How could a man gather his sins back up and his iniquities back up? How could I go back and get the sins of my mother and my father and the sins of her father and her mother and go on back to Adam? I'd have to go all the way back to Adam to gather all of these sins and iniquities up. You see, that Christ died and God made him to be a curse for us. You see, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree in Galatians chapter 3. So then, we couldn't gather all them up. So then he says here, he's removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. In the book of Micah, he said that he buried him in the depths of the sea. In Isaiah chapter 37, he said he put him behind our back. And he said in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So God don't remember them anymore. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I remember sometimes things I've done in my lifetime, and I still blush about it. And I still feel my face get warm about it. And things that I know was a terrible thing that I've done, a terrible sin that I committed. But God said, I forgive you for that. I've washed you and cleansed you and took it away, and I've buried it in the sea, and I put it behind my back. And I don't remember it anymore. God said, I don't remember it anymore. I'm glad. I'm wonderful. God don't remember that I was a low-down, dirty, filthy, rotten somebody until he washed me in his precious blood. Remember. Remember. Forgetting all his benefits, that he daily loadeth us with benefits. Why? For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows we're nothing. You're nothing. How many people today think they're something? Oh, you know, they think they're really something, but in the sight of God, they're nothing. Do you understand and realize all of my righteousness, if I want to brag about it, it's nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God? Do you know that the greatest and holiest and most dedicated saint of God, all his works, if he bragged about it, would be nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. We're all dust. You know the difference between me and a sinner? I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's the only difference. That's the only difference between me and him. I don't look down upon people that do things that I used to do. Why should I do that? I'd still be doing it if it wasn't for God's grace. Wasn't for the benefits of God, I'd still be out in sin. I'd still be doing those terrible things. And why should I look down my nose and look down upon someone else that's doing it, when I'd done the very same thing and still would be doing it if it wasn't for God's grace, that God saved me? As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon all them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and exalt in strength that do his commandments, hearken to the voice of his word. Blessed be the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, let's look. We want to look at something about the benefits of God now. Talk about the benefits of God. Look in Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Now listen, this goes back further than David. This goes all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you notice in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. So it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what we want to notice is verse 3. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall in the Lord. He has put a new song where? In my mouth. Isn't that wonderful? New mercies demand new songs. New mercies demand new songs. God said, I put a new song in your heart. Listen, he's not talking about literally. He's not literally talking about that you're going to stand and sing songs all day. That ain't what he's talking about. He said, I put a new song in your heart. What was the songs made up out of in the Old Testament? The Old Testament, all of them, a lot of them were songs. Notice in the book of Ephesians just a moment. Here he's talking about, let's get this straight now. When we're talking about he's put a new song in my heart. Sings the songs, you know, and praises of God. And the book of Ephesians chapter 5, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And be not, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. You see, you can be just as happy and gay-free as a man that's filled with wine if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're filled with the Word of God, if you're filled with a new song in your heart and a new praise upon your lips. You see, you can have a high with God. You don't have to have a high with alcohol. Listen, sometimes I get real high on God. Why? Because he puts a new song in my heart, a new song in my mouth, a new praise upon my lips, you see. And I begin to count the benefits, and I begin to look at the things that he's done in my life and where he brought me from and where I am today and what he's done for me and how he's had his hand upon me and how he supplied my needs over the years. Oh, I tell you, a child of God ought to be ashamed if they don't remember the benefits of God. Just salvation. Never get over the shock of salvation. Did you ever get over the shock of salvation? Oh, he saved me. Oh, my goodness, he saved me. Oh, Lord, he saved me. He saved me. Have you got over the shock of it? Why, he didn't have to save you. Why? Because you wasn't nothing. He didn't have to, but by his mercy and his grace, he saved you. He sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for you. So he's telling here in prophecy, and notice this.
speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Putting scripture together. Why, I make up songs all the time. That's what it's talking about. I sing scripture, and I put them together, and I sing them all day long. A lot of times when I'm down and out and when I'm feeling real, real bad and real, real blue and everything and down, I start singing and praising God. And the first thing you know, why, I'm upon the mountaintop, you see. Praises. Singing. You're singing what? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Brother, let me tell you, you got something to talk about. You got something to speak about. You got something to sing about if you're a child of God. You really have. Why, you're a child of God. Why, I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Why, I own part of heaven belongs to me. I own it. Christ purchased it for me. God chose my inheritance for me, the Bible says. What did I choose? I choose the old mud holes of the world. That was good enough for me. I drank out of the mud holes. I drank out of the sewers. I drank out all of the things you see of the world until God come along and he said, boy, he said, look, he said, you're a son. What are you doing in the hog pen? Come out of there. You don't supposed to eat corn husk. That's for a hog to eat. You're my son, my child. My house is full of benefits. My house is full of food. You come and sit down at my table and eat at my table. Whew, man, Lord have mercy. Praise God. I'm a child of God. Don't you think I got a right to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in my heart toward the Lord? I got something to sing about, man. Child of God, they got something to sing about. He's telling Jesus there. Jesus Christ himself is talking about it. Let's look at another one. Going the wrong way here. Notice in verse 7 and 8 in Psalms chapter 42. Now I'd like to cover the whole chapters, but I can't. This chapter is talking about a saint of God. And how that he'll hunger and thirst after God. And he's like a deer that dogs has chased, and he's about ready to fall down, and his heart's about ready to bust in his bosom. And he falls down on his knees, trembling and falling and getting the cool water. That's what a saint of God is, to be in the presence of God. David was running what? He was running from his son Absalom. Absalom was going to kill him and take his kingdom from him. And David had a few men that was faithful with him, and he was running and hiding, and he's talking about, oh, Lord, I remember when I went up to the temple, when I went up with the multitudes into the house of God, and we had prayer and we worshiped God. Now I'm fleeing. Now I'm running. I'm in the wilderness. Now I'm hiding from a part of my own family. And that's what David's talking about. And he says in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep. The noise of the water spouts. All the waves and all the billows are gone over me. He said, when poverty calls out to divine riches, when poverty calls out to divine riches, that takes us what? Into 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul said, why, you know the grace of God, how that for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Oh, you see, poverty, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, that Christ extended down into the deep. He povered himself that we might have life. He povered himself that we might be clothed with that righteous robe. You see, that we might have this benefit of being here this morning. Jesus Christ entered down into the depths, you see. He said, I tasted death, he said, in Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus Christ.
Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. Oh, when the darkness comes, when the gloomy comes, when I see the dangerous clouds upon the horizon, when I see all of these things taking place, he said, God's song will be with me. It'll be with me. It'll be with me in the darkest of night. It'll be with me in the brightness of the day. The night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. He's the God of your life. Why? Because you belong to him, because he's bestowed upon you these benefits. Oh, shame on you if you're a child of God and you're too ashamed to admit it or too ashamed to confess it and acknowledge it. Shame on you. Benefits from God. Wonderful when we think about it. Back to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Here, this psalm is about his greatness and his sovereignty. Psalms 33. And look at verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he speaketh, and it was done. He commandeth, and it stood fast. Sing of the sovereignty of God. Let the song, a new song in your heart. Well, I've come into our understand the sovereignty of God. Understand the greatness of God. Oh, he's great. When I think about that song, that new song that young girl wrote and sang and said, he is what? He is the Lion, and he is also the Lamb. He's the Lion of Judah, of the tribe of Judah. He's also the Lamb of God. And it says in that day, in Isaiah chapter 11, in that day in the millennium, it said the Lion would lay down with the Lamb. But lay down with the Lamb. The sovereignty of God. That he does his will. You know, when I come to that place and realize and understood that he's the sovereign, I can't do anything. I'm the clay. What can the clay say to the potter? Why hast thou made me thus? Can he reply? No, you know what? I fall down on my knees and I say, oh God, I thank you. And I praise you because I'm part of the clay that's in your hand. And he said, I fitted clays, fitted for destruction, and also foreordained vessels into life everlasting. Oh, I'm the clay in your hand. You make it the way you want to suit it. Listen, did I go to my mother and dad and tell them how I wanted to look? If I'd have had that right, I'd have been about 6 foot six, weighed about 250, 260. I'd been meaner than a junkyard dog. I'd been real good looking. I'd have had a lot of money and all of that, you know, and dressed real nice, big nice suits and everything. I'd have had all of that if I could have went to my mom and dad and told them what I wanted to be and how I was to be saved. But no. You see, God said, no, I'm going to make the vessel, and he made me a runt. Made me a small man. He didn't give me any looks. Didn't give me hardly anything, but he gave me wisdom, and he gave me knowledge, and he called me to preach his unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And that's enough for me. I got everything. You got Jesus Christ, you got everything. Benefits. Think about what God done here. He gave us new lights, new windows. He gave us central air. He gave us a fellowship hall. Give us a baptistry. He's going to give us Sunday school rooms. He's going to give us a food bank. Oh, my goodness, people. Benefits from the Lord. Do you think you've done that? We didn't do anything. God, none at all. And even those that are lazy, and even those that won't come like they should, they'll benefit from the benefits of those that are faithful. See? To be faithful. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Have you ever tasted the Lord? I guarantee you, once you do, you'll just keep on tasting. You ever been in love with Jesus Christ? You've never been in love till you've been in love with Jesus Christ. He's the greatest lover ever lived. He is the greatest lover. You think you had a big romantic thing with your husband, with your wives, and when y'all was married and all of that? That ain't nothing compared to the romance you have with Jesus Christ. The love affair you have with Jesus Christ. So he's faithful. David, the king, great as he was in Psalms 34, look what he said. Come, you children, hearken, verse 11. Come, you children, hearken to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. David was a king. He was a commander. He was the, he took care of it. Jesus says, come unto me, little children, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Brother, let me tell you, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God until you become as a little child. That's faith. Faith. Trust like faith. Let's look at another one. We got a little time. There's two ways to go with this. I thought maybe I done preached that one way, but I was going to preach it again maybe later, maybe tonight. Make a two-fold message out of it. Look at Psalms 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He that remembers his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye the earth. Make a noise, a loud noise, and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of psalms, with trumpets and sound of cornets, with a make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. The Lord the King. Make a joyful noise. Here's the King. The Lion, the King. Have you met the King? Have you been into the presence of the King? You know, the young son went to the far country, you know, if they... Jimmied up their inheritance, you know. One stayed at home. The young one went off, and by riotous living, he spent all he had on wild women, alcohol, booze. You know, he just lived it. I mean, living a hard life. And he got to the place where he's going to have to feed the hogs. And says in that Psalms, in that story, in Luke 15. This is Luke 16, Luke 15. And he said, when he come to himself, he said, well, I'll rise and go to my father's house. He said, why, the servants in my father's house fare better than I do, eat better than I do. What am I doing in this hog pen? What am I doing in this far country? I'm going back to the father's house. And the father saw him a great ways off, and he ran and he embraced his son and kissed his son. That's sovereign grace, man. And his son was dirty. He smelt like a far country. He smelt like a hog pen. You see, he smelt like booze and all of that stuff. You see, when you drink alcohol, it takes a long time to get it out of your system. And when you start sweating, you know, that old alcohol comes out and it's a terrible smell. You know, you don't smell good. You're not good company around anybody, you see. That's the same way with all these kind of habit-forming things that man and women has today to take. You see, you can't hide it because it'll smell. It'll come out, you see, out of your skin. And you can smell it. And then he said, oh, he said, kill the fattest calf. Because he said, my son was dead and now is alive. He was lost and now he's found. And he said, put a ring upon his hand. That's a ring. That's the Holy Spirit. Mark of identity. Put shoes on his feet. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Put a robe upon his shoulders, the righteous robe of righteousness. And set him down at my table. And there he sat down at the king's table. And there he eat, because the robe made him fit for the king's presence, you see. A change of garment. Redemption.
Regeneration, the new birth, makes you present into the family of God. The righteous robe of righteousness that he gives you makes you fit to be in his presence and to sit down at his table. And that's what he's talking about. Oh, sing the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. He's done marvelous and wonderful things. What's he done in your life? What's he done here at Buffalo Valley? Hasn't he not done marvelous and wonderful things here at Buffalo Valley? Sure he has. Hasn't he not saved? Yes. Hasn't he not built and established? Yes. Hasn't he not given us the word of God? Yes. Hasn't he not allowed us or trusted us in the gospel of Jesus Christ that'll save lost and dying men and women today? Yes. Hasn't he not given us the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature? Yes. Has he not given us the privilege and right to come to the communion table and eat the bread and drink the wine, which represents his broken body on the cross, and the wine represents his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross and sprinkled upon the mercy seat in glory for you? Who do you think that you are? Praise the Lord. Who shall say so? The redeemed of the Lord shall say so. That's who ought to have the song in their heart. The redeemed of the Lord. To sing praises. Now I'm singing the praises of God. What a wonderful work. Lord, he said, look at that vessel. He said, I made it. And I cleaned it up. And I made it a vessel into honor. And I put glory in it. Oh, my goodness, person. My goodness gracious. That he could take a fallen man or woman that's been falling down so low, and you've looked at him and you said, there ain't no hope for that person. They're awful. They have went beyond. They're terrible. Look at there. They're an alcoholic. They're a drug addict. Look. They're in an alley sleeping. They're in the gutter and everything. Where do you think you was in the sight of God? Paul said that we're the off-scourging of the world. He said we're the sewer outlet of this earth. That's what he said. We're that sewer that the sewage goes through. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said another thing. He said, you're a gazing stalk to the world. That's right. You know how many people will pin up a bull or a horse or something, you know, and they pin it up for a while, and take notice of it a week or two. Paul said, that's what we are. We're a gazing stalk. We're a carnival, you see, to the world. They're looking at us. They put us up. We're a gazing stock to them, you see. But we can sing, oh, sing of the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things in my life. Who cares what the world thinks? God's done wonderful, marvelous things here at Buffalo Valley. About time for us to give him praise and glory for it, don't you think? It's about time that we praise him and glory him and honor him. Psalms 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will sing, Lord, will I sing, he said. I will sing, Lord, will I sing. Lord, I made that covenant with you. I'm going to abide by that covenant. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to keep the promises I made to you. I'm going to keep the vows I made to you. I told you when I come to you, I give myself to you, and I'll go wherever you lead me, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. He said, I'll sing. That's what he's saying. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. O Lord, will I sing. David said, O Lord, will I sing. Oh, Lord, will I do it? That's what David said. Can't you see him rearing back? I will sing. I'm going to do it, boy. I'm going to tell people of the mercy of God. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, he said. Oh, when thou wilt come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will walk. I'll be in a rightful manner, in a rightful attitude. I'll have a perfect way. I'll be up on the highway of holiness. I'll sing about that too. Oh, I'm traveling up on the highway of holiness.
Only the redeemed of the Lord will travel there. That's what he's saying. Isaiah 35. I'm on a highway that only the redeemed of God can walk on. There's no unclean thing upon that highway. There's nothing to hurt me upon that highway. When I step off of the highway, then there's things there to hurt me and to harm me. But long as I stay upon the highway of holiness, I don't have anything to fear. I can sing of the highway. I can sing of eternal salvation. I can sing a new song in the praise of God. Isn't that wonderful? We need to do that. I'm going to look at a couple more here. I wish I could deal upon the whole Psalms, but I can't. Psalms 144. Verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praise unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivered David his servant from the hurtful sword. And he goes on. So he's talking about salvation and deliverance. I'll sing about deliverance. How many times did David sing how he was delivered? How many times did he sing, O Lord, that thou give me strength to kill the bear and the lion that threatened my sheep? What did he say when he went out to fight Goliath, 17-year-old boy, fighting a man, a giant that was 9 feet tall or better? He said, you come to me with spears and staves, but he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That's what he said, name God of Israel. I will sing a new song. If you're a child of God, you'll sing the songs of hymns and songs and spiritual songs and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. See, you don't have to be a great singer to do that. You don't have to sing in a quartet. You don't have to have a great, nice, voice, It's good in the sight of God because you're singing praises to Him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's talking about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, there's about 15 more of them, but I'm going to close with a couple in Revelations. Chapter 5, I believe it is, the first one. Revelations 5:9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. I will sing a song of the Lamb, of the Lamb. I'll sing the song of the Lamb. Oh, that he redeemed me. What will take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. David looked around, or John looked around, and he thought he saw a lion, and he saw a lamb as if it had been freshly slain in Revelation chapter 5. I'll sing of Jesus. I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people from their sins. And his sheep followed him. I noticed that, when our teacher was teaching. He went before his sheep, and his sheep followed him. See, all the sheep didn't come out. His sheep. Only them that belonged to him followed him, you see. So we're going to sing a song. Aren't we going to sing the song of redemption? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
that died on the cross of Calvary.
The benefit. His blood is what supplies the benefits. And all the benefits that I'll have is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood. We must plead the blood. So we're going to sing a new song in glory one day. That's going to be wonderful. I think that will be wonderful. In Revelation chapter 14, here it's talking about the 144,000 Jews out of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's going to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ during the millennium, during the tribulation time. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which was redeemed from the earth. They had a song. Nobody could learn that song but them. That's 144,000 Apostle Pauls going across this land preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe they're already here. They've been marked by God. And I believe they're in every nation. And I believe they've already been born. And these are the ones that God's going to raise up. And they're the ones that's going to do the ministering work. And they're the ones that Jesus rewards in Matthew 25. And he says, when do we do all these things? There's hunger and we fed you and clothed you. Yes. He said, as much as you've done it to one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So a song. Let's look at one more song, then we're going to close. Here's the one. We're going to sing this one. Revelation chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. It's the same one in Revelation 4. This is the word of God. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Where do we have victory? On the word of God. What saved you? The word of God. How do you have victory? You stand upon the word of God. Why do we stand? What's the foundation here at Buffalo Valley Baptist Church? The word of God. What's the structure of the word of God? What do we have here? We have the Holy Spirit and we have the word of God. We don't have anything else. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. God's even going to let me sing of Pharaoh. Oh, I saw God drown Pharaoh and his host in the sea. I get to sing about that. And then I'll get to sing about the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away sin of the world. But you know in Revelation 6, those that says, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And you know what most commentaries say about that? Said that's going to be the biggest prayer meeting ever was. Said they cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them and to hide them from him, from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. He's a lamb now, but listen, he's a humble lamb now. He's the crucified one. He's ascended, went back to heaven. But you need to come by the way of the cross. If you're here without Jesus Christ, the only hope you have and the only hope you can sing the song, new song, and the song of the Lamb and the song of the redeemed is come and openly confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. May God empower you and enable you through his word to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, use this message for the honor and thy glory. May you honor each prayer that's went up for the sick and for those that's lost loved ones. May your hand be upon those, Father, that's fallen down, that you might raise them up, that you might heal those that are sick and have problems and difficulty, not only physically but spiritually. And Father, may you save that one that's lost. And we'll not forget thank you and give you the praise.